We're in Ruth chapter 3 tonight. We're continuing our series on what God's providence looks like. And specifically, we find that His providence looks very much like His grace. And that is an important factor that we need to understand and know. And tonight, I want to focus on what happens when God's providence seems challenged. And we get into the account we're all familiar with of Ruth following Naomi's encouragement to go and see Boaz. We begin in verse 1, that Naomi heard her mother-in-law said unto her, "My daughter, shall I not seek rest for thee, that it may be well with thee?" Now remember, this was something that was on her mind back in chapter 1. In verse 9, it says, "The Lord grant you that ye may find rest, each one of you in the house of her husband." Then she kissed them, and they lifted up their voice and wept. This is before the departing. When Orpah went her way, Ruth clave unto Naomi. But the word that's used there is the idea of rest and security. That was a burden that Naomi had for these two girls. He wanted them to find new husbands. And she wanted them to have security and rest. That's not what a lot of people are looking for today in marriages. A lot of times it's looking for someone that's beautiful and I can hang on my arm and everybody brag on me about how beautiful your wife is or how good looking your husband is, or that a very shallow type existence today. But in that economy, at that particular time, the security and rest of a young lady was very important. And Naomi felt that burden, and she said, "Boaz is a near kinsman." He goes on to say, "Wash thyself," verse 3, "therefore, and anoint thee, and put thy raiment upon thee, and get thee down to the floor, but make not thyself known unto the man until he have done eating and drinking. And it shall be, when he lieth down, that thou shalt mark the spot where he shall lie, and thou shalt go in and uncover his feet, and lay thee down, and he shall tell thee what thou shalt do." And she said unto her, "All that thou sayest unto me, I will do." And she went down unto the floor and did according to all that her mother-in-law bade her. And when Boaz had eaten and drunk and his heart was merry, he went to lie down at the end of the heap of corn. And she came softly and uncovered his feet and lay her down. Now this is harvest time. And they're out working in the fields. And this is a custom that we're not familiar with. It would seem very strange if we did something like this, but that was the custom of the time, and Boaz knew exactly what was being asked of him because she was a relative. She was asking him as a near kinsman to follow through with a biblical command that had been given by God generations before about if a kinsman had passed away, another kinsman, a near kinsman, would step up, marry that one to raise up seed for the family. So this was something that had been established many, many years before. And we're not going to take time to go back to the Old Testament passages there that we find mostly in the book of Leviticus. Deuteronomy also has several verses related to this, of becoming the goel, the near kinsman, to take up that responsibility. And so Ruth does exactly what Naomi says. Now, I want to just kind of make a point here that I think is important in the times in which we live today about this. The whole concept of dating in America has really led to some problems, because the whole dating scene today is trying to get as many different dates as you can do and so forth. And what ends up happening is people learn how to break up more than they do how to stay together. Now, you may disagree with me, but you think about the numbers of people that are divorced 3 and 4 and 5 times in our economy. Where did that come from? We live in a culture of date for a while, break up. Date for a while, break up. Date for a while, break up. And we really need to get back, I think, to the understanding of what marriage is about. What is it about? In the Old Testament, I'm not saying we need to go back to this, but in the Old Testament economy, your dad picked your husband or your wife. Now, Dad, nothing against you, but I don't know if I would have wanted you to pick my wife. All right? And I would imagine some of you say, "Whew, I'm so glad my dad didn't pick my wife." You know, it's just the way we live here. But you didn't get a choice. You weren't marrying for love. You were marrying to raise up seed for the family. Procreation. Love would come later. So what have we done? You know, in today's society, our generation, our country, we're way behind in procreation as a nation. We are way behind. We used to be a leader in the world, and now we're, you know, 1.5 kids. You know it's possible to have a half a kid, the average, right? We've met some of them, by the way. But you think about it. We've gotten things. The creation mandate has been left behind. And we're now, it's all about, you know, having fun and all that kind of stuff. And we've lost the idea of two people coming together and bonding and growing to love each other and being invested in each one's life to their betterment. And that's what Naomi wanted for Ruth. She wanted her to find her soulmate that would provide what? Security. Rest. That sounds old-fashioned, I know. But that's what she was concerned about. I know that it's wonderful to be able to do all the things that married couples do. But let's not forget what God said. It's not good, Adam, for you to be alone. All right? Let's let that soak in for just a moment. It's not good to be alone. So two people come together and they're no longer alone. They're one. Now that concept is biblical truth that needs to soak into our hearts and minds. It's not two people that just happen to be on parallel tracks together. No, it's two people becoming one. And if that never happens, the marriage won't last. In this situation here, Naomi wants rest for Ruth. Was that a good thing? Yeah. And she gets excited because the field that they have to go to is a near kinsman. But I want you to notice something. We read further down that there's a challenge that happens. You all know where it's at. Look down with me, please, at verse 12. And now it is true that I am thy near kinsman. Oh boy, Ruth's thinking, uh-oh, what's going to happen? She's connected with Boaz. There's a connection there. All right? This isn't a Hallmark movie, by the way. There's a connection that's been made here. And Boaz says, I am a near kinsman. But there's someone that's nearer. Heart sink moment. But God, you've been so good to bring me to the field of Boaz, and he's taken care of me. And this sure looks like the one that you would be direct, but there's another one. It looks like, now don't misunderstand me, providence is never confusing. God's going to take care of Ruth. Amen? But at this moment in time in her life, things have just been turned upside down. There's another nearer kinsman. What is he like? What kind of a person? Is he like Boaz? Or is he completely different? She feels this moment in time that things are about to change. Tarry this night, and it shall be in the morning that if he will perform unto thee the part of a kinsman, well, let him do the kinsman's part. But if he will not do the part of a kinsman to thee, then will I do the part of a kinsman to thee as the Lord liveth. Lie down until the morning. Could you do that after your whole plan, or it looks like providence of God undertaking for you, has just been flipped upside down? If he wants to do the kinsman part, let him do it. That's not words that I would want to hear. Would you? Let's just be human about this. Would you want to hear that? What? There's somebody else that might do this? And if he wants to do it, let him do it. What are you saying, Boaz? Boaz is saying we're going to follow the word of God on this, what God has said we're supposed to do. There's a nearer kinsman. Now, we know the rest of the story, but it's not right for you to go to the end of the book now. Because guess who's going to show up in the next chapter? Help me out here. Some of you are already going to sleep on me here. Who's going to show up? The nearer kinsman. Now, we're not going to continue with this tonight because I'm going to leave you in suspense. You know what's going to happen. But I want to emphasize something with you tonight that I found encouraging to me. As we go through life, I can give you times in my life that, Lord, what are you doing? Lord, you seem to be working in this situation, and all of a sudden this valley comes up and you go down in this valley. I think all of us can say, I've been there before. Maybe you're going through it right now. But the one sure thing about this is that the providence of God doesn't waver. The grace of God did not waver in Ruth's situation. God already had it all planned out. So why does He allow these things to happen? Why did He allow another nearer kinsman to come into the picture? Because God likes to make things interesting? Okay. He wanted to make a good script for the Bible narrative, so that's the way He wrote it this way? No. It's a lesson to us all that I can learn something in the valley just as well as I can on the mountaintop. Do I hear an amen? We would much rather be on the mountaintop. Boy, this is great. Boaz, the wonderful kinsman redeemer. And then there's Bo. He's not even an ass. He's just Bo. He was from Jay. Right? Right? Here's Bo. He shows up. Bo, what you gonna do? I'll do the kinsman redeemer part. Can you imagine Ruth's demeanor at that moment? Gulp. But then something happens. But the point is this, folks. God oftentimes, in His purposes and providence and grace, takes you down into the valley and helps you to realize you can trust Him in the valley just as well as you can on the mountaintop. You can trust His providence down here when it looks like everything's going to fall to pieces. I'm not going to get Boaz. I'm going to be stuck with Bo. Can we trust God, even in the valley? Well, we know the rest of the story. She did. And God worked out everything to His glory and praise. God's providence is just as strong on the mountaintop as it is in the valley, and maybe even stronger down there. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. What do most people do when they go to the valley of the shadow of death? It's fear, anger. Why is this happening to me? Why am I dying? Question, 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 question. Is God's grace sufficient to take you through the valley? I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. That's His providence. Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Again, God's providence is good in the valley as well as in the mountain or just walking on the plain. And we have to learn to trust Him. Let's pray. Father in heaven, I thank You so much for Your word. What an encouragement the book of Ruth is to us. It might seem that Your providence is challenged or challenging many times. But Lord, help us to endure. Help us to be faithful. Help us to do what's right. Help us not to be fearful and then become anxious that things aren't going to work out like we thought they were going to work out. Lord, whenever we're submitted to Your will and we're resting in Your care, everything works out for good. To them who love God, to them who are called according to Thy purpose. We thank You for the testimony of Ruth. We thank You for the testimony of Boaz. He wanted to follow the word that had been given in the book. And so he was faithful to what God had said, and you worked out all the details, and we give you glory and praise for that. What an encouragement it is to us tonight, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Have a good evening.